The stage is dark, but the conversation is just beginning. Welcome back to the Utah Symphony, Utah Opera, Ghostlight Podcast, a behind-the-curtain look into the world of classical music and the artists who make it. I'm Jeff Counts.
And I'm Carol Anderson. Earlier in the season, Jeff and I spoke with USUO's creative partner, David Robertson, and we briefly touched on his upcoming projects with the organization. We're coming up now to his third program, which features Joaquin Rodrigo's beloved Concierto de Aranjuez, performed by guitarist Gigi. But the rest of the concert is not your grandma's symphony, in quotes, is a celebration of all things guitar, electric, acoustic, classical, and rock. Our guests today are involved with the events surrounding this exciting concert. Guitarist, composer, and educator Gretchen Menn, and USUO's Vice President of Education and Community Engagement, Ben Kipp. Welcome, Gretchen and Ben.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you here.
It is great to have you. Gretchen, I want to start with you. Your eclectic musical tastes run the gamut from Bach to Frank Zappa, everything in between. And you've carved out a really fascinating, sort of unclassifiable space for yourself in the guitar world. Before we talk about Utah Symphony's festival, tell us how you came to the guitar, because from your bio, it seems like it was kind of late by the standards of most virtuoso origin stories.
Yeah, it's true. I was fully a teenager. And you know, people who talk about practicing for 9 hours a day when they were kids, I'm like, did you go to school? I don't know what I'm missing here. But I started in high school and got very serious about it when I went to college and studied with Philip DeFremery, who I still am in touch with. And to his credit, enormously, always trained me like I could be a professional. And so I had the thought that, oh, maybe I'm getting serious about this too late, and he just said no. And also, you mentioned Frank Zappa, one of the composers of the program. He started at 19, so it's not unheard of. And I figured that whatever I missed out on in terms of brain plasticity, you know, starting at age 4 or whatever some people do, I make up for in lack of baggage around the instrument. So I didn't have stage parents. I had encouraging parents that, you know, music wasn't my way of coping with, you know, something early on. I got to have a normal childhood, and then I got obsessed with guitar as a teenager.
All the guitarists performing during this festival formed the group Another Night on Earth. And this has a really cool genesis, this group. Heiko Ossig had engaged Stephen Mackey as a guest lecturer at his guitar lab in Hamburg. And the pandemic meant they had to pivot and create a virtual guitar ensemble. So these concerts coming up in a couple of weekends mark the first time all 8 of you have performed live together. How did you, Gretchen, become part of the gang? And what did this musical outlet mean to you during the COVID-19 crisis?
It's such a cool thing. And I'm so honored to be part of it. I often don't check my social media direct messages just because more of them are creepy or weird than actually beneficial professionally. So I got this message that I happened to see from Heiko, and he was, I didn't know him, and he was asking something about a project. And I got back with something rather, you know, rather tepid, sort of inquiring more as to what it would be. And he mentioned the name Stephen Mackey. I had just figured out who Stephen Mackey was because my husband and I had just gone to the San Francisco Symphony a few months before, where I think we were seeing a Ravel piece, Ravel or Debussy, and there was a last minute program change where they were premiering a piece by the composer Sarah Kirkland Snyder. And I happened to notice that she was in the audience. I'm looking up at her, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like here, she's like beautiful and young, and I'm gonna follow her on Instagram. So I started following Sarah, became a big fan of her music, and through just following her on Instagram, I was like, oh look, her husband's a composer too. And because my husband's also a composer, I was like, oh, that's really kind of cool and sweet. So when he mentioned Stephen Mackey, I'm like, I think that's Sarah's husband. So I looked up Stephen, I'm like, oh, Stephen's like for real. And so I got to write to Sarah on Instagram and say, is this legit? Like, is your husband actually part of this? And she wrote back, she was like, yes, he is. So I wrote back to Heiko. I was like, yes, I'm in, like 100% I'm in. And from there, Stephen brought in David Robertson. I brought in my husband, Daniele, who's also performing. Joe Gore, I think Heiko brought him in, but it turns out Joe Gore worked with my dad. And then I think James Moore was brought in by Steven as well, and he brought in Gigi. I think, did I miss anybody? I think that's eight of us. If I missed anybody, I'm very sorry.
It's a great origin story. I can't imagine how much it meant to have these allies and friends during COVID to be able to do projects with.
It was. And the whole time I'm like, how did I get asked to be in this? Like, talk about imposter syndrome when you're amongst people like, that are in this group. It's just crazy. But somehow I got lucky and Heiko wrote to me.
Did you all
So
have a voice in the projects you created?
yes, we had Zooms every week during the pandemic, and it was, just a wonderful chats of everything from deep musical geekery. Everybody's so knowledgeable with such diverse tastes, and everything from Stephen composing a piece for him and me to do, Daniele composing things, I composed something, and then going deep into like the history of music as well. So it was this incredible camaraderie and friendship that developed. And some of the people in the group, wait, I think only one now, Heiko, have I not met in person. I've spent time with everybody else though.
But never all eight of you in the same room.
Never all eight of us in the same room.
Well, thanks to Ben, that's about to happen. So I want to talk to you real quick, Ben. You're relatively new to the company. You've just passed your 1 year mark. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you've been spearheading the events surrounding this celebration. So talk about how it began, the genesis, the planning, how we got to today.
Yeah, I think it was such an interesting idea. And early this season, I got to spend some time with David Robertson, just kind of talking about what he was envisioning for this and bringing obviously a guitar ensemble and an orchestra that's, as Carol said earlier, that's not your run-of-the-mill concert experience. And so it was an opportunity to experiment, which we often don't get many opportunities to do. And knowing that we were going to have these eight artists who take so many different musical elements from their careers and they're going to put it on the concert stage. And then we knew we were going to have them for like a full week. So there was ample time to figure out what can we do in addition to giving them time together, because they haven't been able to be in the same room together. So there's some community performances and classes that are happening throughout the week. And then the Saturday, April 20th, there's basically a half day guitar festival where we're going to have, I think it's like a dozen or 16 different local guitar makers and luthiers and guitar shops that are going to be in Abravanel Hall. And then we'll have classes basically throughout the day that feature the different artists in what they do best. And when I first was talking to David, we knew we had time and we had people, which is what more could you want in that type of environment? And it was around then that Gretchen just called me. And she like brought this energy and this enthusiasm and a willingness to just go for it. And I think it put me in a position to try and think a little outside of the box of, well, what could we do that is going to be like logistically possible with so many moving parts and so many people, but then also be interesting for people to come into a concert hall that maybe they haven't been in before, maybe they never have thought about coming to the orchestra. But when you see like Frank Zappa and guitars and Steve Mackey and all this stuff, it's like, okay, what's happening here? It's very, it's yeah, it's interesting. I think there's so many just fascinating components, and it's because of the artists and their backgrounds. And then seeing what's going to happen on stage, I think is going to be one wild ride.
I can't wait. And it's going to be two different events because there's some slight programming change between the two performances. So come twice, y'all.
And on Tuesday, what is that, April 16th, I think? Tuesday, April 16th, at the Stateroom, there's a performance of Just Another Night on Earth playing a myriad of different works that I think is going to be awesome. I'm excited for that one just because you don't get an opportunity to hear that type of instrumentation in that setting. And then 3 days later, you hear it with an orchestra like Utah Symphony. Kind of unreal.
So, Gretchen, Ben mentioned your call to him and how invigorating that was. So I get the sense that you're more involved than just as a performer in this celebration. What other kinds of things are you going to do? Because I know education outreach is a big part of your artist's life generally, right?
Yeah, I've had such wonderful teachers. I continue to have such wonderful teachers. I consider myself a student of music first. Every day I'm trying to learn something or grow in some way musically. So anything I can ever do to encourage or to share my love of it with somebody else who's at a pivotal place in their journey, it's a great honor, truly. I mean, I feel like for all of the things in the world that have a positive and a negative, music has some of the highest positive with some of the fewest downsides. I mean, it's like it can connect people who have nothing else in common. It can inspire, it can comfort us in our darkest moments. And yet the worst it can be is like not your cup of tea. Like that's such an overall huge positive thing. And I wish more people felt empowered to pursue whatever their musical aspirations are, without fear of judgment or competition or anything like that. So being able to sit down with a room full of people and teach them a Zeppelin song or whatever might be a good little gateway into it. You know, we can sit there and be learning a Zeppelin song, but there's other things you can get in there as well, even if it's just giving people permission that their music might mean more to other people than they would ever have the humility to admit to themselves.
I think that, and if there was anything we would want our community to understand, is that music is accessible. There are different instruments that are more or less portable, affordable, all of that. Guitar seems like it's one of the instruments with the lowest barrier of entry for an amateur musician. I even dabbled with a guitar. I think I still could play three chords back in the day. And I remember, you know, it was a reasonably affordable student guitar that I had. It's certainly easier to access than a set of timpani or a piano as far as portability is going. And of course, you know, there's guitar centers all over, but I've never seen a contrabassoon center. Sorry to our producer, Robert Bedont, who is a doctor of bassoon playing. And by the way, Robert, if you want to start that franchise of contrabassoon center, go for it. So there's a little bit different programming the two nights of the performance, and Saturday evening, you're going to be featured in a new composition by Stephen Mackie, correct?
Yes, it's been the absolute total focus of my last few months. I'm obsessed with it. It's called Aluminum Flowers, and it's a 5-movement guitar concerto that he composed. And it runs the gamut. It's almost like he just decided to be like, let me just throw everything at you possible. And I've vacillated between feeling so deeply honored because it's so much and it's so intense, and then sometimes having moments in my darker moments of being like, is Stephen mad at me? Like, why would he write something so difficult? So it's everything from classical guitar to like a really creative use of like delays. So he's, as you probably know, he's also an electric guitar player himself, but deep, incredible composer. So the way he writes for electric guitar is like some of the best writing for electric guitar and composed music out there. So he uses, the second movement uses this really creative use of delay. So that's really fun and required me to get used to this interaction with the effect in a way that I hadn't done before. And then the third movement is this like guitar extravaganza that's everything. It's like sweep picking and tapping and all of this and polyrhythms. And then the fourth movement, it involves this prepared guitar where you thread a pick between your strings. That proved to be much weirder than I thought. I had to like raise the action on my guitar and duct tape it so it makes this gong-like sound, and then I'm playing slide above it, and then the fifth movement's all this looping. So it's, I feel like it's a guitar player's amusement park and an incredible education, and most importantly an amazing piece of music. I think as a Gigi, who is also part of the program, she's playing the Rodrigo Concerto, she also performed this at the Curtis Institute. And as she and I were talking about, I think it's gonna we think we're talking about that we think it's going to age really well. It's a really amazing piece. I think a lot of other people are going to want to play it, although she and I would like to be asked first. But because it's so good. But it's just an amazing piece of music, and Stephen has, I think, written something for a lot of a lot longer time than just April 20th.
Looking forward to that. This is such a girl thing to ask, but so don't think that I'm being an anti-feminist by asking what you're going to
No,
wear. But
oh gosh. Okay, hopefully I did actually like go online because I asked Gigi first. She and I have really bonded over learning this piece, especially coming from different worlds. You know, I'm like an electric guitar player who plays some classical, and she's like a classical player who approaches the electric sort of in a classical way. So it's like what was difficult for me, I could ask her about, and if she had questions, I was like, oh, this is how you do this thing. So we really bonded, and one of the things I asked her about was like, what do you wear? Like, am I supposed to wear like a gown? She's like, no, don't, you know, and she like wears like all sorts of crazy stuff. So I ended up being like, well, I don't really belong here, so I don't want to look like I don't need to like emphasize even harder that like here I'm an outsider, like I'm already feeling like an outsider. So my husband and I went shopping, he found a nice suit for himself, and then I had I think what might have been a world record in terms of women picking out a dress for an important event. I literally like it was like less than 5 minutes. I
Oh,
just
that's
basically
impressive.
went, it was so fast. It was like I went to the counter. I hate shopping like so much. I went to the counter, I'm like, hi, I'm doing this thing, I play guitar, it's like really important. And she kind of pulled a couple things, and then I mentioned, I was like, well, usually, you know, I don't really know about these people, but usually this line of clothing fits me well. She's like, oh, and she pulls out this dress. The piece is called Aluminum Flowers. I was kind of thinking maybe something silver. And she pulls out this dress, and it's like white with like this big red flower on it. And I'm like, that looks
There it
okay.
is.
You know, it wasn't a floor length gown, but it wasn't like short either, which I was like already, I was like, oh, is it okay if my shins show? But again, I'm trying to be respectful. So I tried it on, and you know, the sales lady, my husband, and some other woman who was there, like I put it on, I walked out there, we're like, that's it. I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm gonna go home and practice.
Perfect. No, I was just intrigued because I thought, when it's not your turf, I wondered if you had to sort of approach that differently. Just...
I did. I hope it's okay, but actually, that's one of the things I've been really stressed about.
Oh
I
God,
hope
no,
it's
it's.
okay if my shins show.
Oh
Like,
yeah,
it's
you're
not
good.
okay.
You're
Okay.
good. You're good.
I did
I think
see
that.
some people online with things that I wouldn't have worn, but at the
I
same
mean,
time, I'm like, what do you wear?
I think Yuja Wong
I was
kind
going to
of.
say, look up Yuja Wong and you'll see what the
You'll be
I think I
first,
saw.
what's
Okay, I
possible.
think that was the one that I was like, okay, cool. If the bar is set there, I can be. Yeah. All right.
No, but
So hopefully
that
nobody will be scandalized. I don't think it.
No, you're
Well,
good.
thanks for indulging my girly question, because I don't like to shop either. I mean, that's not entirely true. I do like to shop, but I do feel the stress of shopping for something that is important. So
Yeah. Well,
the
and with a
fact that it came together,
guitar. With a guitar, you have there's a different set of requirements. It's not
Totally.
just like what do you look right in and stuff. Things like tiny little high-heeled shoes. No way. I've got this humongous pedal board. I don't think I can lift it and show it to you guys, but there's so many things that I have to be stepping on this loop pedal. It's like I got work to do with my feet.
Yeah.
Like they're
Well,
just
and that's
not here
another
to
reason not
hold
to
me
wear,
up.
that's another reason
Yeah.
not to wear floor length, because it'll just get in the way.
That's exactly right. So I'm trying to take Gigi's advice about being a little bit spicy, but not
No,
but less than she would do, because
it
she belongs there. She's Gigi. She can be as spicy as she wants because she's Gigi, right? So I think it'll be something I'm comfortable in, although I am planning to do a whole run through of the concerto in my stage clothes to be like, is everything gonna be okay? Because you gotta be sitting down with a classical guitar. Stephen wanted me standing up for the rest of it, so it's like I'm gonna be standing, I'm gonna be sitting. It's like I said, I've got this looper pedal, so I'm gonna be changing my pedal settings and stuff. So
You've got
it had to be
staging to get to.
functional.
Yeah, it's got it. You've got staging instructions.
Oh my gosh, that's fun.
As a rock musician, the default is always like, I'll just wear black. But then you see, you're like, oh, as a soloist, like you're supposed to stand out a little bit more. So I'm like, I don't have anything. So
Black always works in our world too. You can always default to black,
oh,
even as a soloist.
Okay.
Yeah,
Am I supposed to wear something different for the two nights? That's what I figured. I sort of was. So I have something black to wear on the night that I'm not the soloist.
That sounds perfect.
That's great.
Yeah.
Black is the way to go. It's the default.
I say whatever you feel fierce and powerful and like you're gonna just nail it all. That's what we got to wear.
Well, okay. You've been described as a badass, so you got to do badass.
Oh my gosh. The hope is always just not to be a terrible disappointment to everybody who's believed in us, right?
I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how that's possible.
I feel that hard.
Do you know how many nights I've woken up? You know, like I'm not somebody who's that inclined towards anxiety. I'm like, I'm a non-procrastinator. I work on stuff or whatever. But the number of times that this concerto has gotten me like practically wide awake at 3 a.m. being like, why did Stephen think I can do this? It's like,
oh gosh. Well, I can't wait.
I've had some good run throughs. I did a whole run through with him earlier this week. So,
oh, good. Oh, good.
At least I got his sign off. Well,
that's important. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, this concert is just going to be just cool.
Yep.
Like it's just going to be interesting and fun. Like, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it.
See, and Gigi's lucky because she doesn't have to prove to Rodrigo anything that she's worthy of his place.
Well, and Daniele's concerto that I've heard a lot because, you know, I live with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's, yeah. It's gloriously beautiful. I mean, it's like, I know how he plays. I've heard his music a long time. It's, I think, some of the best stuff he's ever written. And as a guitar player, if you look up what he can do on the instrument, he's second to none in terms of his, not just his virtuosity, which is, I think, upstages a lot of what is wonderful about his playing, but his sensitivity, his ability. Mm. Contrabassoon, by the way, is his favorite instrument. He's got some good contrabassoon stuff, especially in the third movement. His ability to, the way he interweaves the electric guitar with the woodwinds is really, really beautiful. So I think that will be a piece that especially people who are maybe less open to really modern music. It has a lot of sort of that like late romantic
mm-hmm.
kind of like harmonies and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
that I think will be very accessible to people who might be a little bit more intimidated by other stuff.
I'm gonna have to get out of the Friday. Oh no, I have a different concert on Friday. I'll have to come over.
He's
to
both
rehearsals.
No, he's doing both nights.
Okay,
he's doing both
okay.
nights. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Phew.
Yeah.
So here's a toss-up question for both of you. What do each of you hope is the lasting impact of this event on the Utah guitar community? Let's start maybe with Ben.
I think that's such an important question. And the response for me is, I don't know. I don't know what the outcomes of this could be. I think what I want or what I was hoping for is to show that music is a community of people. And it's people coming together and creating sounds, and it can look like many different things. And in this one weekend, you're looking at an orchestra and a bunch of guitarists who have varying backgrounds coming together and basically saying, hey, you belong here with us. And just sending that message that every weekend, especially in a place like Salt Lake, and I think in this week in particular, you can find a community that you do belong to, and the community of the music world is one of the most open, you know, armed that you can find. So for me, I think it's about folks realizing that Utah Symphony, Utah Opera is here for them in a way that maybe can be unexpected and surprising and fun.
How about you, Gretchen? You're not as connected, obviously, to the Utah community. In fact, is this your first visit to Utah?
No, I've been to Utah a number of times. In fact, I've played at the State Room before, but with
band.
No, I love Utah. To me, it's just such a great honor to be part of it. As you pointed out, Carol, the guitar is an instrument that has homes in so many different places. It can be like intimate around a campfire or in a living room, and yet it also can be the soloist of, you know, epic concertos, and you can play epic riffs in a stadium or, you know, noodle by yourself in your bedroom. And there's something really wonderful about it. It's at home in more genres of music than I think maybe the human voice has more. But in terms of how many genres of music is guitar not only welcome, but even a cornerstone of, there's a lot you can do with it. And what I love about this program and what is so cool about what Ben and the rest of the Utah Symphony are doing with this is I feel like it's saying something that a lot of, we're so quick to point out divisions between things, whether it's people or countries or ways of thinking or genres of music. And the idea of bringing this together and showing like, look, you can be at a symphony and hear electric guitar, or you can be somebody who would maybe only go to rock clubs, but also enjoy the beauty of what a live orchestra sounds like, which a lot of people who frequent rock clubs maybe haven't taken a lot of time to do. So I think there's something that's so inclusive about this, and also in the best possible way, I think challenges people outside their comfort zones. I feel like our world is set up, especially once you reach adulthood, to be routine to the point that I don't think it benefits a lot of people. I mean, sure, it's great to know how to tie your shoes without having to think about it every single time, or to drive your car without being like, you know, paranoid you're gonna hit something. But in terms of the number of challenges we as adults get to have every day, it becomes non-enriching. And I think the idea of stepping outside your comfort zone and at least having, in this situation, maybe you're somebody where like, okay, I like Led Zeppelin or I like rock music, but I don't know if I'd really go to the symphony, that having that one little lifeline into it might open up a whole other world for you. You know, if this gets a rock musician more interested in modern day composition or in, you know, seeing more orchestral stuff, how cool. Or vice versa, you know, if somebody who thinks, oh, I don't like electric guitar because all they've ever heard is something that doesn't speak to them, of being able to hear a piece by Stephen Mackey that really is great, great 21st century composition is so exciting.
Rich, and I think I'm going to prove here that I did my homework and read your bio before we met today, because I wanted to learn about your background. And I really do advise anyone listening to go check it out, gretchenmenn.com. It's a great website. Lots of cool stuff about what you're up to. But I can't let you go without talking about an anecdote that's written into your bio. We spoke before, you know where I'm going. We spoke before about you coming to music pretty late with the guitar, but there's another story from when you were 3 years old, an experience with a different instrument. Would you tell us about it, please?
Oh, you know what? I even remember this. It's like, you know how they say you don't have very many memories before the age of five, but the ones that you have are meaningful. My mom was off doing something and my dad, both of them were very, you know, total hippies. And so of course, you know, when their daughter wanted to explore an instrument that was in the house, which was my mom's violin, I picked it up. I remember playing it like a guitar. And I remember kind of dragging it around the house as a three-year-old does, you know, not respectful of an acoustic instrument. I don't remember breaking it, but apparently the instrument was not playable after my dad let me explore it for a while. So I didn't witness any contention between my parents, but I always think about that because part of Led Zeppelin is playing the Les Paul with a violin bow. And I'm like, oh, this goes back even further for me than the guitar.
Part of guitar lore, though.
Violin bows, yes.
Right. Part of guitar lore is destroying instruments, too. So I think you became a guitarist a lot earlier than high school.
Exactly. Just smashing things.
So I mentioned your website, Gretchen, but where else can people find out about you?
Most of my handles are just my name. That's the benefit of having not a very common name. It's just at GretchenMenn.com, at GretchenMenn on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok even. Although there's a crazy search of fake profiles recently. Basically, mine are just at GretchenMenn.com, not Gretchen Menn private chat or whatever else is out there.
And that's men with two N's, right? Two N's.
Two N's, yes, yeah. Two N's.
And Ben, where can we find information about the events surrounding guitar celebrations?
UtahSymphony.org. You can find all the dates for any of the performances there and for the classes. The half day festival is like has its own pass, and for anyone under 30 you get 50% off. So I think the half day pass is $10 for those that are 30 and under. And then there's two performances, Friday, Saturday, April 19, April 20.
And the Saturday performance is at our 5:30 hour, which is a fun time period.
It is, yeah. So yeah, it should be a really fun, exciting time.
Well, I know we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Gretchen and her compatriots live and in person here in town.
I do want to say on behalf of Utah Symphony and everybody who's loved that company forever, I want to thank both of you, Ben and Gretchen. I think there's no doubt you're going to bring people into a Bravenel Hall who haven't been there before. And I think that's amazing. And I hope that what they see you do, Gretchen, and what came from your brain, Ben, gives them reasons to come back. I'm really excited about that opportunity. So thank you both for that.
Yeah. Well, and I can't let it go without saying that if it wasn't for Gretchen's phone call out of nowhere, that set the tone for what the whole ensemble Another Night on Earth was game to try. And it just set the tone for like, okay, let's try stuff. Let's see what we can do. Let's bring people in. So really thanks to Gretchen for calling me on. You were on some drive. You were like, I'm in the car and I just wanted to share these ideas. And it was awesome. I like left my office and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. We got to think about, let's get people in here. Let's go crazy. And we did a little bit.
I love it. Because a sense of play is we forget that.
Well, this is the benefit you get by getting somebody who's really honored to be there. I'm like, let's do it all. Like, who knows when I get to do this again? Like, let's do everything. And Ben, I mean, it was like, I remember still when you picked up the phone, just like, I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be so much fun to work with because, you know, as somebody who doesn't frequent, you know, symphonies, I go to them, but as somebody who hasn't gotten to be on stage with an orchestra ever before this, should I have told you that? It's so exciting and such a great honor. And it's like the idea is like, let's just do everything possible to make this as exciting and as fun and as cool as possible. I definitely know that some people are traveling who have seen my bands in different places. And I think this will be their first time at such an event. So it's so cool that you guys have been willing to take a chance on something that I know is kind of an unusual program, and hopefully it'll be something that that everybody's really has a good time at. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said that's good. I'm well acquainted with a few of the pieces that are going to be played.
Well, I also want to thank everybody at home and on the go for listening today. If you haven't yet, it would really help if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. This helps us get new listeners. For questions about the show or to suggest a topic, you can reach us at ghostlight@usuo.org. And be sure to visit usuo.org or utahsymphony.org. As Ben mentioned, there's still time to get your tickets. So go to those two spaces for information about upcoming performances, these included. We hope to see you not only at that performance, but at future performances as well. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Gretchen, for being with us. Until next time, I'm Jeff Counts.
And I'm Carol Anderson. Thanks for listening.
The Ghostlight Podcast is produced and edited by Robert Bedont. The Utah Symphony Utah Opera season sponsor is the George S. and Dolores Dore Eccles Foundation.